Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Asma Khalid.
Winter is coming.
This Sunday, HBO's Game of Thrones returns. And if you haven't seen it yet, there is still time to binge. Do not worry. If my math is right, you could actually fully catch up in about 56 hours straight, although that probably would not be extraordinarily healthy. But if dragons and zombies are not your thing, there is still plenty of other great TV shows and movies to catch up on this summer. And joining us now to give us his take on what we should be binging on this summer is Ty Burr, film critic and cultural columnist for the Boston Globe. Hi, Ty.
Hi, Asma.
Thank you for coming, joining us, I should say. And so, Ty, let's start with Game of Thrones. It is returning Sunday for the first half of its final season. I will say, isn't the big question always, you know, essentially who's going to live, who's going to die? More or less.
And whether this the big battle that we've been sort of waiting for God knows how many years is actually going to happen in this season, or whether we're going to have to wait for the next thing. You know, the events move so slowly in this world, but rather rivetingly.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything in particular you're watching for this season?
Oh, you know, there are certain people I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss Hodor, you know. I'm not getting too attached to Littlefinger, Peter Baelish's character, because his time is just about up. I'm wondering if Sansa, what she's going to do with her spine now that she's finally grown one. I'm wondering what Cersei is going to do now that she's out of heirs, since the last one took a header in the end of the... I'm sorry, is that a spoiler?
I mean, no, so Ty, I've got to pause you there when you're talking about Littlefinger.
Please.
And all this. So, okay, I have to confess, I have not actually
seen the
Game of Thrones. I know, right? Like, our producers were just as shocked as you are. But Ken, for people who haven't seen it, could you explain why it's such a pop culture phenomenon? I mean, I recognize this. My sister was binging on it, you know, just last weekend to try to catch up.
You know, after a certain point, there is an up curve. There's a learning curve there. And you have to also get over the, you know, the HBO brutality. Hey, we're cable. The B stands for boobs and brutality. and once you get over that, you get sucked into the many chess pieces of the show and the characters that are all interestingly venal one way or another. There's very few people who are pure-hearted, and the ones that are don't tend to stick around very long. But there's a lot of divas, male and female. There's a lot of moving parts. And after a certain point, you've just invested so much time and emotion that at this point, you know, you just want to see. You're on the roller coaster and you can't get off.
I see.
So I would say, go online, do some flashcards, you know.
but it's worth watching, like if I'm a newcomer.
That would actually be a very curious lab experiment. Sit somebody down who has never seen the show and ask them to figure out what the hell is going on.
All right. So, Ty, since we've been talking about Game of Thrones, let's stick with TV for a little bit longer. Showtime has brought back Twin Peaks. That's the early 1990s cult favorite. It's this paranormal murder mystery with some horror mixed in there. What's it really about?
There is no easy question to that. You know, back 25 years ago, it was a cult TV series.
Yep,
now it's an even more of a cult TV series. Showtime built it up with a big, double premiere, and everybody tuned in to sort of the nostalgia fix. Mm-hmm. And it's David Lynch, ladies and gentlemen. This is the most effectively, successfully, genuinely, artistically surrealist creator in major commercial American entertainment of the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. He is going to mess with your head. So that first premiere kind of cleared the room, and all the people who just kind of want to, oh, where's the log lady? It was so weird that they're all gone.
Yeah.
And then there's kind of a coterie of us who are just riveted by the weirdness of it. And I don't care. I don't really know what's going on, and I don't care. But it is, the energy of it is so particular and so deliriously delightful. You don't know what's going to happen, but the filmmaking, I mean, Lynch is kind of working on a plane of his own here, and it's not anything traditionally narrative, but if you're willing to go there, it's quite a ride. And
so,
I don't know where it's going, and nobody knows where it's going.
So Ty, why did it get canceled by ABC back in the day, right? And now Showtime is bringing it back. Just, if it was such a popular, you know, cult favorite.
If you've seen the original two seasons, the first season was brilliant. The second season, halfway through, they solved the murder of Laura Palmer, more or less. And then it kind of got wiggy and ran out of gas. And I get the sense that even Lynch lost interest in it. And so it was just sort of petered out. And now it is back, but he's using it almost as a career summation of all his various tendencies and interests and images. And it's a show that exudes more sort of palpable dread about life in America than, and more nightmarish, inexplicable dread, nothing you can actually articulate. He gets under the skin of things better than almost any other filmmaker working. Again, it's not for everybody, but it's quite a ride.
All right. So, Ty, I also know that there are some movies you've liked recently. Let's start with Okja. It's on Netflix. It's about a girl who's trying to keep a company essentially from abducting for her best friend, which happens to be this giant, really gentle beast. Scientists created the beast to help solve world hunger in the movie. Let's listen to this clip from Okja.
The world is running out of food, and we're not talking about it.
We needed a miracle. And then we got one. Say hello to a super piglet.
So, Ty, that is actress Tilda Swinton, one of the stars of Okja. Without giving, I would say, too much away, can you tell us a little bit about the film and what struck you about it?
Well, it is about a girl and her giant mutant pig.
Yes.
It is from Korean director Bong Joon-ho, who is last seen in these parts with Snowpiercer, the movie about where the remnants of humanity are on what, a train that circumnavigates Earth. He does these parody parables. He is one of the most naturally gifted filmmakers out there. And this is sort of a Charlotte's Web updated to the near future with nightmarish aspects with part, you know.
I know, I saw the trailer. I was like, Charlotte's Web, that seems a little dark.
Yeah. Well, it's the kind of movie that's probably going to make your kid a vegetarian for life if you show it to them. There are parts of it that are almost like a Miyazaki movie. Absolutely delightful. And there are parts that are dark, dark, dark and very funny. He is a very funny but darkly funny filmmaker, and Tilda Swinton plays evil corporate twins. Jake Gyllenhaal gives what's probably the most outre performance of his career as a TV animal show host, gone renegade. It is a very odd film, but it's a very compelling film. And I don't know anybody who has seen it who hasn't been blown away by it. It's not showing in theaters because Netflix basically, Bong Joon-ho had a good experience streaming Snowpiercer on and reaching a new audience, and he's gone that way with Netflix. And Netflix, of course, is trying to attract filmmakers. And this, you know, may be the future of a lot of film
or
a particular
TV,
kind
right?
of film is not going to theaters. You can only see it on TV, and you should.
All right. Ty, another movie that's been getting some attention is The Big Sick. It's this romantic comedy starring Kumail Nanjiani. He's a Pakistani-American comedian who some folks may know from his role on the HBO series Silicon Valley. The film is based on a true story about Kumail's relationship with his now wife, Emily Gordon. We have some sound from that movie as well. Here's Kumail telling his friend, who's also Pakistani, about Emily for the first time.
I have to tell you something, babe. I've been dating this girl. She's white.
A white girl?
Okay, you can't look like you and yell white girl.
It's okay. We hate terrorists.
And so, Ty, we've just got a couple minutes left, but I do want you to talk about this. I mean, we know that early on in the courtship, Emily has this health issue that ends up sending her to the hospital, hence the name of the movie, The Big Sick. And Kumail is trying to navigate the tension between both his family and her family and friends. What do you like about this movie?
What I like about this movie, well, there's the politically correct reason why you like this movie. It is a movie about starring a Pakistani-American about an interracial relationship at a time when America needs to see movies with different kinds of people in the leads. But that is, you know, a nice reason to see the movie, a good reason, socially good reason, and a reason, I think part of the reason the movie is a success, though, and it actually is spreading to more and more theaters, is that it is a movie that makes you feel good. And you buy into this relationship. He's delightful. She's delightful. His parents are hilarious. And her parents, who turn up about halfway through the movie and are played by Holly Hunter and Ray Romano. If you've never thought of those two people together, I know, it's, you know, it shouldn't mix. They are so hilarious together. You kind of want them to be your parents for at least a week. The scenes with Nanjiani and the parents are absolutely delightful. It's a movie that I don't want to give too much away, but it is, you know, there aren't too many experiences we have now where we just come out and we feel good. This is one of those in many, many ways. So I'm recommending it to a lot of people, especially those who say, there's nothing for me in the movie theaters. This is a movie for you.
It's a feel-good movie. You would say.
Yes, I mean, yes, I guess that's what the critics say. It's
I see. Just want to ask you also real quick. So is it, what did you think about the idea that it's based on this true story? Did that strike you? Because the whole time you're watching it, you know that this actually happened.
Well, no, now that you've spoiled it,
I know.
You actually don't know that until the end credits.
Where
you see the photos of the actual people involved. That's an interesting question. Here's what, he based it closely on what really happened. Does that always make the best movie? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I would argue in this case, yes. That works, but there's sometimes
he's playing himself. That's kind of cool.
He's playing a version, and his character is named himself, after himself. But where it's in the genre of stand-up comics making movies about being a stand-up comedian, so it fits.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ty.
Thank you, Asma.
All right, folks, that is all we have time for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Asma Khalid, and this is Radio Boston.